No, you're not wasting my time. We're talking.
If you're really an evangelist,
what if you need the truth?
If you have the gift of evangelism, I don't want to get in your way. You don't need to be talking.
But I'm here to reach people like you, though, sir. I mean, if people want to talk, I'm here to talk to them. Jesus has stopped to talk to me. He didn't say, I'm here to preach and brush them up. Now, if you were a mocker, I do. I'd say I'm here to preach. But the people that are loving.
Brother, I'm not mocking you.
Okay. I didn't say you were.
No, I know. I know. I just asked, where are you from and where are you going to?
We're from central Wisconsin originally, but now we're van dwellers. We live permanently in our van. We support ourselves. We don't take money. We travel all over the country.
Are you related to any other believers?
Not believers. Not an organization. We're the body of Christ. God didn't ordain.
I'm not arguing with you there, man.
He said God didn't ordain organizations. He didn't ordain.
So I'm not hitched up to a bunch of wires. That's
cool. I do this because the traffic is closing. And you probably do a lot of things where they do amplification and enjoy, right? You use it and you watch movies.
You go
to church, they have an amplifier.
Actually, I don't even like any of that. But I don't have a law against it either.
That's why I'm not talking to you on it. But the gospel is wrong to most all. 99% of the American church system is wrong because the gospel is based off the building, it's based off money, it's based off the modern pastor.
Yeah, but Jesus isn't wrong. So you exactly. And I know that.
Yeah, so we must place our faith.
Yeshua, God is salvation.
Yep, we must place our faith in his shed blood and his resurrection. True. And most people stop there and say, I believe in that, but here's where it gets really rough, is the Bible calls us to repent.
When it tells you to get out of the boat.
Get out of what?
Get out of the boat.
Yeah, you must repent. We used to be worldly drunks. We had to repent of our ways and kill our flesh. Most people don't want to do that. They want an easy believe I'm going to heaven no matter what, and that's not true. You must repent, turn from all your sin. When God sees a willing vessel, you'll be born again. When you're born again with a new heart and a new mind, the fruit isn't that you go to church, I'm better than my neighbor, I do pretty good in the culture. No, the fruit is the Spirit takes you to the Word, lines you up in every way, how you talk, how you act, how you dress, how you live, how you spend your money. Because Jesus said this little thing that hardly anybody wants to do. Three things he said. He said, preach the gospel, which is what I do.
Wait a minute, you just added two.
No. Yeah, he said a lot of things. He said, preach the gospel, which I just preached to you. He said, make disciples. Hardly anybody wants to be a disciple of Jesus. They just want to believe in him and go to their own little system that makes them happy. And then he said this, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. I don't know hardly anybody except a few brothers and sisters close and a few people that I've met on the way that are teaching people to obey, which means in this culture, once you're born again, how you talk, how you act, how you spend your money, how you gather, who you gather with, how you dress. Okay, this culture is very immodest. This culture is very paganized. You have Christians, so-called Christians, walking around today thinking it's okay to mark your body up with tattoos. See what I'm saying? They've left the truth in so many ways. And it's not legalism because we can't work our way to heaven. But you know what we do?
Yeah,
our faith is backed up by our works, and my works show my faith. So if I was out here dressed in a pair of Speedos, preaching a holy God.
I'd say you're not at the swimming pool.
Well, we don't dress that way at the swimming pool either. Because the key point is, the other thing that's really important is people don't realize this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God in Genesis 3 actually acted and showed us how to dress our temple. He killed animals, shed blood. Isn't that awesome? And covered us in a tunic-like garment.
Well, you're going so many directions that I appreciate.
Yeah.
That I can't keep up with you because you're on a mission.
Take my gospel card. Look at don'tperish.com.
Well, I've got it memorized already, all right. So I'll look at it.
Yeah,
look
it up. And
I
if I can
want to take literature from you, you might want to give this.
No,
else.
We got plenty. But look it up. Test me to the Word of God, and here's my charge to you.
Believe me, I will.
If I've got something wrong.
But I don't know you well enough to find out.
But you will know by my website.
I don't know enough about you, and I'm not related to your website. I won't relate to other than your website.
You will. My website will tell you everything about what I teach, who we are.
Well, you know.
I got thousands of articles.
I believe you. So do a lot of other people.
The problem is they're not teaching what I just told you.
Well,
they're connected to the world.
The problem is a lot of others are saying the same thing you are.
No.
I think they're the only ones that are doing it.
Like who?
Which I'm not saying.
Yeah, but like who? Who's come out of the culture? Teaches you against pagan Christmas, pagan Easter, that Sunday church system. Well, okay, that's one. Okay, that's one. So I agree with you. They got that right about the pagan holidays, but they're a cult. But who else?
They don't know Jesus is Jehovah.
Yeah. Who else?
Oh, I'm talking about countless numbers of believers that in their conviction.
What organization?
It doesn't have to be an organization. There's plenty of them.
Okay. Because when I go out in the streets.
Let me qualify this because I'm really not arguing.
No. This is talking.
Right. It is. You're just fantastic. So
when you do what I do, you got to be intense.
Well, anybody that sticks a sign up is on a street corner, busy downtown.
You think John the Baptist was intense?
Yeah, but
you think Jesus was intense?
Definitely.
You think Paul was intense when he told men to cut their manhood off?
Yeah, but there's a way more to talk about on that. You're jumping so many places, and I can't follow you fast enough on that one. Anyway, yeah, Jesus is Lord. I have no.
But here's the thing. When you say Jesus is Lord, that's true. But then Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you belong to a religious body or anything? Do you go to a religious body?
I go to a church.
What's the name of it?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter because.
It doesn't matter because actually, here's what I agree. I don't have exclusive membership to any church.
But if you unite to them.
Even to a church group that has exclusive membership.
But if you unite to them, sing and pray, you're united to them.
In spirit.
If they're biblical, we want to know about them so we can come visit them.
Well, it's a Church of Christ, if you want
to. Okay, Church of Christ. So is it the kind, the one that sings no instrumental?
Right.
So we agree with that. We actually agree with that. That's what the Bible teaches.
I don't.
Okay, well, that's what the Bible teaches. But here's where, let me just love it.
Not really.
Yeah, it does. The
Psalms are full of instruments.
I got articles all about that. If you want to talk about that, we can. But.
Well,
here's where the Church of Christ is wrong.
I don't want to interrupt you from me if you're going to really preach the gospel.
Hey, Church of Christ is wrong here. Baptismal regeneration. That's a lie. They believe that you have to be water baptized for salvation. That's a lie.
Some of them do, but there's a lot of autonomous.
Okay, there's a lot of different.
My argument to you is there are a lot of autonomous believers that love the Lord Jesus, that recognize the body of Christ, that are in and out of these groups.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. The remnant is scattered. They're not all in a building on a membership roll, but here's what I will challenge you with. The remnant, if they really are the remnant, like a lot of people tell me, well, there's Roman Catholics that are true believers. And I go, listen, if you're a Roman Catholic and you're coming out to the truth, but that's a pagan cult, right? If you're coming... Oh, absolutely. If you're coming out to the truth, it might be
as one brother characterized as a senile old woman.
No, it's a cult. They have a different Jesus. They pray to Mary. They pray to saints.
There are several problems. Yeah, I couldn't be a Roman Catholic.
Then that discounts it. But my point is, you will.
Plus, I'm not Roman.
You will come out of that. See, and you won't stay in. And if you stay in it, and here's the key. You seem like you want to go. I want you to go. Here's the key. Any sin.
Wait a minute. I'm going to stay. No.
Any sin that you stay in. See, this is a big problem in America. I preach the gospel to you. Faith, repentance, repentance. That means change your mind, change your ways, leave your sin.
Yeah.
American churchianity thinks, I sin a lot. I know I sin a lot. I keep sinning a lot. But Jesus' blood covers me. I'm good to go. That's not what the Bible teaches. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we willfully sin, there is no more sacrifice for sin. So their pagan holidays, their worldliness, their immodest dress, their immodest talk, their unbiblical gospel, their corruption with money, their corruption with the system, their unity to the culture, loving politics, sports, entertainment. This is sin they won't repent of. So what I would offer to you is they'll tell me we believe your gospel, but they don't because they won't repent of all that. Jesus said you must repent. You must come after him, follow him with all that you are, and that will leave you separate from all of these church systems because unity with them is spiritual harlotry. We love you, so we tell you the truth. What's your name?
John.
John, I'm Jim. It's my wife, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
We started off a little rough, but we finished good.
I was willing.
I know I'm an intense guy.
I was willing to get rough.
Yeah, we finished good, and we want you to know we love you. We don't do this for money. We don't sell anything. We don't want you to come follow us. My goal is you open the Bible, and you go deeper than Church of Christ. You go deeper than the culture and how it's taught you.
Yeah.
And you begin to follow and obey if you truly are born again. Because if you don't, when he comes back, you won't be in the sheep line. You'll be in the goat line because his sheep hear his voice and they obey him. So don't be, you know what I notice when I go out here street preaching all the time? I get men like you. They'll listen and we talk. And you know what happens almost all the time? You're alone. You know what happens almost all the time? The wife is there and she'll give him like maybe a minute. And he wants to talk to her. And I'll say, hey, let's talk. And I'll go, here's a gospel card. And his wife, just happened right there. His wife will step up and go, we don't need your gospel card. Let's go, Harold. And he's standing there like, and here's my point. I'm just going to say it. Bad company corrupts. Feminization is brutal in America, all over the world. And bad company corrupts.
My wife would expect this.
Okay, good. And so here's the thing. You will only rise in your spiritual maturity, your spiritual level, with the people you hang with. So sparrows don't fly with eagles. They can't keep up. You want to be an eagle of God. You got to repent. You got to come out. Your life has to be fully in order. And then you may have to be a Noah alone in your generation. Or you wait and you preach and wait for people to come out. To jump in the mud puddle where you know there's sin and false doctrine, that's unity. And the Bible says, come out. Romans 16, 17 says, mark those who have caused division, who have left sound doctrine, and avoid them. It doesn't say meet and sing and pray with them. It says avoid them. And then in 1 Corinthians 1:10, this is important. Paul says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does this sound important? He said that you all be bound together. You all be speaking the same things, perfectly joined the same. Now that doesn't happen if you're going to a place where you disagree on the doctrine. I have unity with people that we agree 100% the word of God. We got there because we wrestled over it. One of us was wrong. We wrestled. The Spirit confirmed. We got it. If you're with a group that they go, oh, we don't believe that. We believe that. You believe this. You don't have unity. You're outside of God's body.
Unless I'm patient.
Well, the Bible doesn't say to be patient with sin and bad doctrine. It says, mark it, repent of it, and leave it. It doesn't say to be patient with sin.
Right.
What we're supposed to do, if you see me sinning and I'm a Christian, you're not supposed to say, oh, Brother Jim, we know you're sinning, but in 10 years, you'll probably stop. We love you anyway. You're supposed to come to me and say, Brother Jim, you're sinning. You need to stop. This is a bad witness, and it's defaming our Lord. And if I say, okay, it goes no further. If I don't listen, I'm giving you Jesus' words here, Matthew 18. If I don't listen, you bring another brother.
Yeah.
And if I don't stop,
you don't have anything to give if it isn't Jesus.
You take me to the whole body. And then you know what Jesus said, who everybody says is so loving. What did Jesus say to do with the man who wouldn't stop sinning? Can you answer that? What did Jesus say?
Yeah, I could, but where's the whole body you would take them to?
Well, in this last day, in the first century, they had established bodies. 3,000 people came to faith in one day. That I haven't seen that happen around anywhere. We are in the falling away. Paul said we'll be in the great falling away. We're in the apostasy age. Jesus said you are going to find eternal life. He said in Luke 18:8, will there be any faith left when I return? So don't look around and think you're going to find a lot of true followers. Jesus said few. So we may not even have, as we're traveling on the road, I don't have an established body traveling with me to act like a body. We're the remnant on the road calling people out. And there's what we see in the world is they're scattered all over the world, coming out of religion, coming out of the culture. But there's not 100 in a building somewhere that are keeping the commandments of God because they're compromised. I'm telling you that. I've been doing this for a long time. And so if you want unity with God, you must have perfect unity in doctrine, and you may walk very lonely. Noah had to do that.
Right.
He didn't compromise. And we're in a circumstance like Noah because Jesus said in the last days it will be like as it was in the days of Noah. This is a Noah generation. They love entertainment. They love politics. They love pride and vanity. They love sports more than they love the things of God. I know. I stand out with a gospel sign, and 10,000 people walk by me. On a good day, I'll have 10 good quality discussions with seekers. That's a good day. On an average day, it might be 3. Sometimes it's 0. Do you see how few is few? Most people mock the truth of God. Most people say, I got it. A guy up there just told me, I got it. I said, what's the gospel? Tell me. Believe in Jesus. And I said, is that it? Yeah. And I said, so we don't have to repent? Jesus said, repent. Yeah, you got to repent. He kept walking. I said, sir, do we have to be born again? This is the mockery of God. They'll take time for politics. They're here to entertain themselves. You're taking time. They won't stand and say, what says the word of God? What must we do? Should I examine myself? Is this Savior who shed his blood for me and rose again worthy of self-examination, testing myself? And if those people I associate with, if they're outside of his truth, then I warn them. Of course you warn them. You don't leave. Warn them. But if they cling to those false ways, you can't them and stand back and call to them from away. If they were in a mud puddle going down quicksand, don't jump in to save them. You save them outside of the mouth. So the Bible's very clear. Your number one goal is not fellowship with other people. Your number one goal, John, right, is holiness to obey God. Imagine if Noah would have compromised. The ark would have been filled with who? A bunch of pagans, a bunch of unbelievers, a bunch of wicked people. Noah said no. No one got on but his family.
Well, that assumes a few things, but I'll go with you.
Yeah.
As soon as the pigs wanted to get on.
Yeah.
And they only wanted to get on when the water was up.
Well, it's too late. And let me tell you how few is few. 600,000 men. I love telling people it's few. Jesus says few. His reference would have been the Old Testament. 600,000 men. It tells us in Numbers. 600,000 men come out of Egypt. These are men that are like fighting age. So I'm going to say it was probably 18 to 45, something like that. There was women. There was children. But there's these 600,000 men.
You're talking about leaving Egypt.
Leaving Egypt. And what did they do? 40 years, they rebelled and sinned against God. And God said, I'll have patience. You're sinning. No. God said, stop. He ran them in a circle for 40 years. Out of the 600,000 men, you want to know how few is? Very good. They're the only ones that got going.
Not even Moses.
Yeah, because Moses hit the rock twice and he wasn't supposed to hit it the second time. So here's my point. You take that same, I'm not a math guy, take that same percentage, 600,000 to 2, 330 million Americans. It's 1,500. I'm not telling you that's all that's going to go to heaven. Yeah. What I'm telling you is.
And you can't.
No, but what I'm telling you is.
I'm sure it's few.
You see how few. It ain't going to be 47 million.
Calvinists would say, well, only God knows.
Well, only God does know. That's true. But Calvinism is a whole other false doctrine. Yeah, that's a whole other. You're not a Calvinist, are you?
No, I'm dangerously respectful of John Calvin, but there's no name above any name other than the Lord Jesus.
Did you know John Calvin was a murderous man?
I knew there were issues.
Like he agreed with burning people alive that didn't agree with him. Would you call that a godly man?
I'd call it a sad state of affairs, man.
And he never repented of it.
As far as
so how can anyone lift him as godly man?
The only problem you and I have is what we've heard, what we've read, what's been given in the account.
I read his actual book, his quote.
Yeah.
He said, I exterminated Michael Sturtevant and everyone that teaches what he teaches should be exterminated. How about Martin Luther? Did you know Martin Luther? His quote's on my website.
Yeah.
Look at the top. It says denominations exposed. Look up Martin Luther. Martin Luther said, baptize a Jew, take him to the river, tie a rock around his neck, throw him in and say in Jesus' name. That's a quote. Adolf Hitler used Luther's writings to make people hate the Jews. He prayed to Mary. He baptized babies. He hated the Jews. Did you know Martin Luther wanted Jude, James, Hebrews, and Revelation? How can anyone call him a holy man of God? He was a heretic, a murderous heretic.
There's problems.
So this is what this. You problem. Understand why I stand against this whole idea of the American church system. It's built on them. It is. It's all built on them. The Sunday system, the modern pastor role, the pagan holidays, the timed out religious system, going into a building, singing some songs, saying some prayers and leave and you go and join the culture. This is nothing like the New Testament bodies. They were a tight-knit group. They lived for the Lord. They were separate from the culture other than to go and preach the gospel in it. They were holy. They were hated. They were murdered and killed for their faith. Everybody loves the American church and they're bending over backwards to please everybody, like the homosexuals, like the politicians. You got pastors going around telling everybody to take this wicked vaccine, okay? Which nobody knows what it's going to do to you long term. It's brand new, mRNA, totally brand new. Pastors are saying, line up and take it. You know why? They want their churches filled so they get their coffers filled with the money. And the government wants them to keep doing it.
To have that motive, that's bad.
Yeah. So all those reasons, when you test it to the Word of God, and then if you're a truly holy saint of God, you can't stay united to that. You can call it out. You can leave it. You can tell them to repent. You can show them the way once you're living it. But you can't be united to it. What does Paul says? What does light have to do with darkness? What does God have to do with Belial, Satan? We must be separate, holy. God says, touch no unclean thing, 2 Corinthians 6, and I'll receive you. This culture is unclean. Man-made religion is unclean. It's a stench in God's nostrils. And so be mindful how you're carrying yourself. Don't fall into fellowship idolatry. Serve and obey God first. You already met some. I think we're true saints. You prove me wrong on my website if we're not. Anything I have wrong, I'll repent of.
This will be enough for me. I'll look at the website, but it's really, this is the...
Yeah. And we go, because I can't meet you on my porch, okay, in Missouri. We go, we sleep in parking lots. We witness to the guy in the government. We witness to guys in million-dollar motorhomes because Jesus said, go, preach the gospel, make disciples. I'm encouraging you to become a disciple if you're not already. And if you are one, go deeper and follow his word and his ways, not the culture, not man-made religion. And then you must know it. And he said another thing, like I said, teaching them to obey. So your charge is to know it and then be living it and then be able to duplicate that in someone else. But if we're like the culture, we're not doing that. We've compromised.
Kind of like a good virus.
Like a what?
Good virus.
Oh, very much.
Not a bad virus.
Hope to hear from you sometime. Jim.
Okay. Hey,
we love you. Thanks for stopping.
All right, sure.
Yeah. We, like I said, we don't make money. We don't sell anything. You got to ask. I got enough money. I could be hunting, fishing like everybody else does. I could be in the hunting, fishing idolatry the rest of my life. Why am I doing this?
Well, hopefully because the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah. And how do you know that? Test my doctrine. Test my word. That's what Jesus said. When the Pharisees said, "You're not a God," he said, "My words are true. My words are from the Father. Test the doctrine." And they said, "You're of a demon,"
right.
And they couldn't prove that,
right.
And that's why they had to kill him and get rid of him. And I'm not Jesus, but I have the same problem. People lie. I go out street preaching. Women say, "Oh, he was chasing little girls," and the police show up, and I go, I look at my wife. She'd been by my side the whole time. I go, "Officer, I have a body cam for safety." I said, "You want me to show you the entire body cam today? I don't chase little girls." He goes, "You're okay." I said, "They lie because they hate the truth of God."
Yeah, or they hate whatever you're representing.
Oh, representing the truth of God.
Yeah.
The gospel is an enemy to this culture. And if you're of God and you live it and preach it, they will hate you too. For the right reasons. We want to be hated for a jerk. We want to be hated because we're calling people out of their sin.
Yeah.
And that's why all the disciples were murdered, other than John. John was fortunate. He got to be, according to history, not the Bible, boiled in oil, they say in history. It didn't kill him. Then they stuck him in a jail on Patmos where he died. He was one of the lucky ones, the blessed ones. All the rest of them, heads cut off, speared, torn to pieces because of their faith. Look at American Christians. They love entertainment. They love all of this. None of them are being persecuted for their faith. They run from persecution. That's not the fire of God, the Holy Spirit of God that puts a zeal inside you to go and live it. Not everyone's going to be a street preacher, but you live it in a way that your neighbor sees it and they go, you're different, John. You go, yeah. And they go, why are you so different? You dress different. You act different. I notice you don't go to Church of Christ anymore. You have a Bible study in your basement. Yeah.
Some in the Church of Christ probably would wish I wasn't in the Church of Christ.
Again, I've tested.
Sometimes the reason I stay.
Yeah, I've got a teaching blog and I've got an unbiblical teacher's blog. I've got several testings of Church of Christ on there. I've never met a biblical Church of Christ place. I never have.
Yeah.
If yours is biblical, email it to me. I'd love to see them. I'll make you a quick story. Church of Christ pastor. Right around here. I won't mention it. I won't even mention the name, okay? I'll be nice. Right around here.
Here?
No, right around here. In the state, I'll say. A cappella music, we agree with that. Okay. They do some things that we agree with, a lot that we don't agree with. They dabbled with Christmas and Easter. Well, I reached out to this pastor and he was mean-spirited, rude, and wicked. Just emailed him. Well, I did a little investigation. And I'll just give an example of the worldliness and the carnality. I found out that his family is into sports of the culture and his daughter is a cheerleader. Now, I don't know whatever you think about that, but when you think of holiness of God, sports and rowdiness and covetousness to win and running around, this is not of God. He did not call us to be sportsy. And then a young girl in a little skirt dancing around in front of men. And when I brought it up to him and I said, "How can you do this, sir?" He didn't open the Bible. He didn't try to defend himself with the word of God. You know what he did? He said, "Email me again and I'll call the sheriff on you for harassment."
Why did you go and out of your way to talk to him? He came to you.
No, I heard. The story was I was working somewhere and I met a guy that went there. And then he told me about the place. He goes, "They're biblical." I looked him up, tested him. I could see they weren't. I emailed him. I just emailed him. I said, "Can I ask you some questions?" He had the gospel wrong. He believed in baptismal regeneration.
Right.
A lot of things, that worldliness. And the whole thing is they go to church. They act all pious. They sing this. They do this. And we go out. And when he got mad, John, is when I said this. "Hey, your daughter's a cheerleader." I said, "So let me ask you a question. If that's okay on Friday night at the football game, when will she be dancing on stage on church on Sunday? Is God there? Is he there? Is he there Friday night at that football game?
Could be.
Is he in the Sunday building?
Could be.
Should we conduct ourselves like...
It's up to him.
Should we conduct ourselves...
And we want to be sensitive.
But God is everywhere.
Right.
He's omnipresent. So if this is the temple Holy Spirit, if this is the temple Holy Spirit, we're supposed to dress it the way God ordained always, other than if we're taking a bath or whatever, with our partner or something. But we're supposed to dress it that way. My point was, he was a carnal, worldly man.
Yeah.
And I'm not holding that.
Probably didn't trust you.
What?
He probably didn't trust you.
Well, what do I care if he trusts me? I brought
Word. But that's a lot of people, that's when they get all...
But I brought the word of God to him, and he can't defend his sin. So this is not a matter of trust. So wait a minute. You realize something? The prophets showed up, and they didn't always know who these guys were, and they proclaimed the word of God. And they didn't say, I reject you because I don't know you. You know what the people would say? What's he saying, and does it line up to Torah?
Oh, sure.
So when I show up, it shouldn't be I don't know you. It should be, does your word line up to Scripture?
Right. But they'll oftentimes, especially within the clergy structure, they have a system and way of thinking that if you're...
They're in their flesh, not the spirit.
Well, great potential. That's true.
Absolutely true. So, if your daughter's a cheerleader, you're in the flesh by allowing that. Yeah. Sorry. That's carnality. This is the temple of God. We're to dress it biblically. We're not to act out in those worldly carnal ways. I mean, if you don't agree with that, you really need to study the scriptures more, because holiness... You do. You do. Holiness is to be set apart.
I really do.
Good. Maybe this is encouragement to you to do it. Holiness is to be set apart for God, like you're set apart for your wife. So let me ask you a question. Are you married? You said you are. Do you want your wife sleeping with another man?
First one did.
Okay, but this one you're with now. Do you want her to? Do you want her kissing another man? How about holding hands?
She can kiss.
How about holding hands? How about flirting with? You see so you see the degradation I'm talking about.
But the grace with my wife is she's not of that temperament or that.
No, that's fine. I was just using an example. So here's my point. That's your bride.
Right.
She's to be faithful to you everywhere. Same. Not even any, ooh, there's a cute young guy. Ooh, hey. Not even supposed to be doing that, right. Let alone sleeping with him. Right. If we're the bride of Christ, what are we supposed to be for her? We're not to be flirting with her. That's what I live to do. That's what I live to call people to. And people say,
making sure there's enough oil in your lamp.
Yes. Amen. And people say it's legalism. It's not legalism to obey God's word. People say you're extreme. It's not extreme to follow Jesus. They'll say it's works-based. Works are part of your saving faith. They are. Go read James 2 that Luther tried to throw out of the Bible. And people always tell me, John, faith alone, grace alone, grace alone. And I always hit them with this. Ready? What Bible verse says faith alone or grace alone anywhere? And they go, and they run to some of them. Most of them walk away and I go, you don't have a verse. That's a man-made doctrine. They go, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it goes, see, because by faith through grace you are saved. I said, where does it say alone? James 2 says, you are not saved by faith. The only place faith alone appears is when James says, you're not saved by faith alone. Noah was called a righteous, perfect man, and God said, I'm going to choose you. And God said, I got a job for you. Build an ark. Noah's faith was acted out in works. He built the ark and he was saved. What if Noah would have said, God, I believe in you. That's a lot of work. I'm going fishing. What would have happened to Noah if he didn't build the ark? He would have drowned and been washed away. Faith and works. Abraham took his son in the desert.
He found favor. Work grace.
So my encouragement to you is look at your faith and then see your works in holiness, obedience. See that they're married. See that you're the bride. How faithful are you being in all of your ways? And if you can admit that you're not, according to Scripture, you need to repent and go deeper in those ways, because you will stand guilty and accountable before God. Especially now, God will say, my worker stood right in front of you and reminded you of the depths of my word. Maybe no one's ever told you that. Maybe someone has. I'm just backing up, whatever. And God's going to say, you got a Bible, you got the time, you got the resources. And if we don't do it because we want to favor men, we don't do it. I don't know about your wife, but I just use example because my wife won't like it. My family won't like it. Oh, if I leave Christmas and Easter, you know how many people tell me, wow, if we live Christmas and Easter, everybody's going to reject us. And I go, on judgment day, God's going to reject you. Because God says, don't add pagan ways to my holy name. Holy with profane. Don't do it. God never ordained these things. And that's why we stand against all these things that we're talking about, because they're made of man. They're introduced by Luther and Calvin and Roman Catholicism, and they've merged them into evangelicalism. To be a true Christian, go back to the first century. Forget the Reformation. Forget the 1800s when Church of Christ came along with the Campbellites. Forget that. Go to the first century and become a disciple of Jesus.
That's probably what the Campbellites thought they were.
They weren't, though. Not even close. because none of those early saints taught baptismal regeneration. They didn't live the way they do. They didn't structure their system the way they do. And again, I get a testing that goes through that.
So, I work.
You can call me anytime.
All right.
Email me. Debbie. Call me, email me anytime. Love to encourage you in the faith. That's what we're all about.
All right.